when Katie and I travel in the summer with all of our kiddos, we can't help sometimes but look at other travelers that have RVs and campers and have some level of envy towards them. We feel it, okay? I know we shouldn't, but we do because it looks so accommodating to families, right? Your own space, a place that's air conditioned, you can get out of the heat, nap your kiddos in a pack and play. Well, we discovered Outdoorsy.com, and this is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S. They offer thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, and they're available in your neighborhood. And there's multiple ways for you to travel and to do this, okay? You can drive it yourself, or you could tow it, or you can have it delivered and fully set up to wherever you're going at your destination, okay? That's pretty convenient. Now, there's built-in peace of mind that comes with this. There's comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, roadside assistance is included in your rental. And here's the deal. There's great value because oftentimes these are more affordable than hotels or vacation rentals. So it's your own space and it can be more affordable as well. If you are over 21 years of age, you do have to be 21 years in order to rent these things. The way you do it is it's just three simple steps, okay? You go to outdoorsy.com and you search and you choose an RV that fits your family and your trip, okay? And then you book with confidence. There's insurance, there's support, there's protection included. And then you hit the road, okay? Or if you're having it delivered to your location, I guess you'd still hit the road, but you would drive in your own car and then you'd arrive at your destination with an RV fully set up, okay? Those are the three steps. And this summer, they're actually running a campaign where when you use our code, which is FAMILY, they remove all service fees from your booking. And so when you go to outdoorsy.com, that's outdoorsy.com, and you use our code FAMILY at checkout, then you don't have to pay the service fees. They remove them. Okay. And in for instances like this, less fees are better. So this summer, if you're going to 250th anniversary celebrations, if you're going to down Route 66 to celebrate its 100th year anniversary, if you're going to fiddle contests, family camps, whatever it is, Christian conferences, go to outdoorsy.com and utilize their great services.
Okay, so tonight we are here with the coziest of cozy episodes. We're talking tonight on navigating overwhelm, and this is a real-time episode. It's rare that we do a real-time episode, and honestly, it's a little scary to be doing a real-time episode. We're just going to kind of bring you into what our life looks like right now, and I was kind of overwhelmed doing this podcast tonight, but Elisha's like, hey, why don't you shower first? You could go right to bed afterwards, and that just changed everything. Getting to just sit here in my cozy sweats and chat with Elisha, I'm actually looking forward to this now. So anyways, I'm excited to talk to this about you guys. If you enjoy it, give it a thumbs up. Thank you all for your ratings and reviews. And thank you for sharing this podcast with other people who are like-minded. It just blesses us. And that's probably how you found out about the podcast. All right, let's dive in right now.
The Now That We're a Family podcast.
Yeah, Katie, as you were doing that intro, it reminded me that many of our podcasts in years past have been very real time. And even in addition to the podcast being real time, so much of our YouTube content was, you know, lifestyle. We were doing vlogs. We did daily vlogs for two Decembers. We would do that Vlogmas.
Remember that? We had our family channel.
Yes. And then we did like the baby watch. That was a daily vlog.
Yeah, Elisha did on the editing on those.
It wasn't anything special.
And he would edit and get it up for the next day. That's so funny. That's like a lifetime ago.
It does feel like a long time ago. Then, of course, when you were more active on Instagram, that was daily, real time.
Daily stories.
And so it was just weird when you said that. I was like, you're right. We've really gotten away intentionally from sharing kind of like, hey, real time. This is what we're feeling. This is what we're going through. And again, that's been intentional because I think we wanted there to be an element of privacy, you know, that was something we were looking for. We wanted our kids to feel less pressure from anything we're doing.
Hopefully no pressure.
Yeah, ideally no pressure. And then I think we didn't want to feel pressure even in our marriage. You know, mm-hmm. I think when we think about our marriage, we want it to like be for the sake of the other person, right? Or for the sake of honoring God, not like for good content and be like, hey, let's work through this, you know, on the podcast. I don't know. When you said that, I was like, you're right. We haven't talked real time in a long time, but here we are doing it. So
Yeah, we're doing it tonight. I think it could be something that could be helpful. I know that for me, when I'm out of seasons of overwhelm, it's very hard to remember how it was in a season of overwhelm and like how it feels and what exactly you do to get you out of it. It's like, well, you just kind of like seasons pass and then you go out of the overwhelm.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, sometimes it's very daunting and it's like, well, how can I actively, I like to be proactive in any way that I can. And sometimes we do just have to sit in things and get used to doing the things that we know we should do without feeling any emotion attached to them or any excitement or any motivation. We just have to do the things. And I think that really separates mature, successful people is just their ability to feel a certain way and act in spite of it and then get out of the season and look back and be like, wow, I'm so glad that I kept taking steps instead of just throwing the towel in and coping.
Yeah, I think in times past, we've done whatever we could just to get through the season as one, as fast as possible or as or eliminate the discomfort as much as possible.
Yeah, it's so like just quit the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Or whatever. Or things. Yeah, quit things in that season. Because you are right. Seasons do come and seasons go. The tricky part is that you don't know when that is oftentimes. And so you find yourself being entirely dependent or really like a victim to the ebb and flow of life. And I mean, again, those seasons can be, you know, first trimester, postpartum. That's not for us, okay? That wasn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not pregnant.
Yeah.
that I know of. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here.
Or just sickness in general, right? Or it can be travel where all of a sudden, or between houses, right? You're between homes, like you sell a home and you're waiting to move into a new home, or you're building a home, or you're changing jobs, or you have a ton of company through the summer. Or whatever. The list goes on the holiday season, right? That's another time that is like pretty consistently, I think, for people kind of, you can enter into overwhelm. You're like, wow, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of moving parts. And in times past, we've really kind of either like, you know, fallen prey to just coping mechanisms that did not serve us well in the season. Then you just wait to get out of it and then you restart. But I think that we really have grown in being able to, like you said, because we've known that that's what successful people do for a while, right? When you know that, okay, good parents don't feel like being good parents every day when they wake up, but they act like good parents in spite of their feelings, right? Good people that have a thriving marriage don't feel like acting like, you know, a great spouse every day, or they don't feel like loving their spouse in the way that their spouse appreciates every day, and yet they find a way to do it in spite of their feelings. And we've always wanted that to be true of ourselves. And it's funny because that's the irony, is like you can't wait to want to do it. Like you can't wait to until it feels right. You just need to figure out how to do it. And we've talked about that being via, you know, systems and I think just accountability and things we've put in place. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think in times past too, which I think we've progressively gotten better at this. Like our time frames have gotten longer. I used to like freak out after literally a day and get shiny object syndrome. And be like, you know what? Like we decided Elisha should quit his job like three times and we'd go full-time self-employed before we were actually ready to go full-time self-employed. And then a month later, we're like, oh my goodness. Like, so it didn't feel like the job was working. And it's like, you know what? We need more time to pour into our self-employed things. Quit the job. Let's do that. And then it's like, okay, the self-employment isn't going as ideally as we thought. Put the brakes on that. Go get a job. And like, I fall prey to that shiny object syndrome of like, sometimes it's quitting something, but sometimes it's just starting something new and being distracted from actually sticking with whatever you need to stick with.
Yeah, the good things you had going.
Yeah, exactly. Because not everything that's a good thing feels like a good thing in the moment.
Yes. And I mean, I think it's crazy, even as you're saying that, within the context of this season, and this is really kind of started right before our trip to Kentucky. And then obviously the trip to Kentucky was awesome, but we came home. And this is always the case with trips. You're a little behind, right? We are behind in work. We are behind in whatever, just the yard. You know, I'm just like the lawn needs, there's all those things that you're behind on when you come back from a trip, the laundry, like, right. You have all this travel laundry. And we're like, okay, well, we'll jump back in. But then we came home to a crazy, and again, I'm not trying to make our life sound dramatic.
I know. I'm wondering if we should actually just say what kind of was stressful, or if we should just kind of go into what's kind of helping.
Yeah, because again, it would probably sound pathetic if you like heard us explaining it. That's always how it is when you hear people explaining the stressfulness of their life.
I don't want to sound pathetic. Well, like, a lot of it is blessings. But like we know, sometimes a blessing is hard work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always mean a blessing is Fruit Loops and rainbows. And so we've been blessed in a million different areas. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you are so... abounding with blessings, it's kind of hard to handle them all.
Sure.
And so sometimes it's just seasons like that. It's like these are all good things, but they're all happening at one time, and therefore I have a cold sore on my face, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like I can't handle all the blessings at this moment, you know? Yeah. Our children are blessings. God says that they're blessings, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't take a lot of work to raise our children. And likewise with our marriage or any good thing that the Lord gives us, it doesn't mean it's easy.
Yeah, or fun all the time.
Yeah.
That's or even like, you know, always satisfying and fulfilling. And it feels, it's not always that. Like,
They,
like big picture macro, like, well, yeah, of course, marriage is fulfilling and it fills, you know, your love tank and it's satisfying. And of course, children are fulfilling. But then when like you zoom into the micro on, you know, a random Wednesday afternoon, it's like, well, man, does that make that blessing not a blessing anymore? Because you're not feeling whatever that emotion is or that sentiment. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Lord has just been so gracious during this season because it's been, I mean, I think it started a little earlier for me than it might have for you, because I feel like this year has just been the most full year we've ever had. And that's saying a lot when I look at our life. I know a lot of our listeners have very full lives as well. And we kind of dove into the new year with a lot of great ideas. And we do feel that like we need to stick with these things and we're happy to stick with them, but we didn't necessarily have a systems for a lot of the things we were pursuing. It was just kind of like, we're just going to do it. And now that we're a few months into the year, it's like, okay, the wheels are flying off the wagon. Like, and we're like picking up the wheels and putting them back on while this wagon's moving. And we just, this can't keep going.
That's a good point. Cause I think back to, yeah. And you know, any of our listeners know this, like Katie, I don't know, just in managing our home bears the brunt of like stressful seasons. Cause I think a lot of it does revolve around the flow of the home, or it's like, it's felt most dramatically in the home. So it makes sense that you've been feeling it maybe slightly longer than I have. But you're right. Like when I think back to some of those, I don't know, random pushes that we went through in January, February, and March, we're like, yeah, this is awesome. It's like the good old days. You and I staying up way too late working on projects. Like, this is fun. But then it's like that wasn't leading to like a sustainable system. You know?
Exactly.
Like, we did it. And then, okay, yeah, now we're back to our life. It's like, well, we need to go do that again. And we need to do that again because of the things that we started. So, yeah, it's been a good learning experience.
Yeah, we're learning a lot. And we have the blessing in this all, the really good blessing, is that Elisha and I have had a lot of fun this year. It has been a great year in terms of our marriage. And that's a really fun thing, is that I don't feel like I feel like all the stress has stayed peripheral. Mm. It hasn't affected our marriage.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, it hasn't been between you and I. It's like us against the tornado.
Right. And that's crucial. I think that can make it so enjoyable. And I'm glad you said that, because this has been, again, we're only in April here, end of April. And it's like, well, this has been our best year so far.
Yeah.
In marriage and parenting, it's been a blast, and it's been extremely fulfilling. And that's like my general perspective on the year, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't also not been like a little chaotic, honestly.
Yeah. It's growing pains.
Yeah.
It's growing pains of the family. It's growing pains with just our lifestyle. It's growing pains in the business and everything. So I sat down to kind of, like, I went to the Get It All Done Club, and I was like, I don't have anything for this type of overwhelm. Like, I was just feeling like I exhausted my bag of tricks. And what's funny is often I go to the Get It All Done Club and kind of revisit some of my videos to kind of be like, okay, what's helped me out of these seasons in the past? But Elisha knows that I am struggling when I bring up the need to hire like 7 different people. Like, who have I brought up hiring this last like month?
Well, you don't bring it up from the standpoint of like, we need this help. You just kind of like drop it in conversation and just kind of like,
I was thinking.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, like, I've been enjoying homeschooling the kids so much. Like, I really think if I'm able to put more time into that, like, that would be helpful. What if we looked into getting a cleaner, you know, a house cleaner? Like, I don't know. And then really, that's the only thing you've brought up, because you love, you know, cooking, and you love the, you don't want to, like...
I do. But I feel like I looked up, like, a laundry service this week. Like, what? You could just, like, drop, like, someone drops your clean laundry off at your door. That sounds great. I need, like, a maid or something, like a house cleaner, or someone to come watch the kids for a couple hours, maybe, while I deep clean or do something. And when I was frantically searching the interwebs for just every form of domestic help, I was like, I need to get this Victorian book on home management. And all of a sudden I'm looking at butlers on YouTube. And like, that's when I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe take a couple steps back here. And, this might just be due to poor time management. Mm.
Yeah, but that would be kind of cool. Cause what would I have, like, a valet? Is that what they are called? Like, I don't know. Like, helps me choose my outfit or something. Like, he shines my shoes for me.
In our first, like, starter home, we just have, like, a butler.
Yeah, exactly. Be great.
And you get a driver. I have, like, someone doing laundry in the back and, like, a frilly apron.
But I'm glad you brought this up, Katie, babe, because I've probably done this before, but I want to take this moment to acknowledge how exceptional you've been in this area, okay? Now, I want to preface by saying we have been abundantly blessed with family. I mean, my parents, Katie's parents, grandparents, siblings, in-laws, like, you go down the whole list, aunts and uncles, the whole thing. It's like, we are so relationally rich. We are wealthy when it comes to relationships. However, none of those are like this consistent weekly babysitter or support, right? And I think it's great when people have that. I'm like, if a grandma, you know, if the kid's grandma is able to take them once a week or twice a week, and you have that, awesome. Or if you get support from in-laws or whatever on a regular basis, that's great. But it is remarkable. And that's why I think going back to, like, the efficacy of so many of the tools and tactics in the Get It All Done Club is these are tried and true, and they are proven through you living it. Again, if you have outside help, that can be a huge blessing, right? Let's leverage those resources, you know, invest them wisely. And if that means getting a cleaner or a tutor or, you know, somebody to help, you know, take the kids every so often, I think that can be a great thing, especially when it's family, you know, that can be pretty cool. But we've straight up never had that ever on a regular basis. Now I don't think we're victims at all. Cause it's like your parents have taken the kids for like a weekend while we get away, or my parents have watched our kids, but I'm talking about like on a weekly basis that we don't have that ever. We've never had the consistent cleaner. We've never had a consistent tutor. We've had in times past, and we need to get this going again, is a consistent babysitter for a date night. And even that I've really dropped the ball on. We've said this before, our babysitter went to Bible college, you know,
the babysitter have to go to Bible college? No, but I mean, her sister's been amazing.
Yes.
And we've been, whatever.
The point I'm making is I'm blown away more and more when I see what you've accomplished in our home. You've created such a restful, peaceful home. You've started homeschooling our children. You manage their music lessons, you know, after, or not their lessons, but their practice. I do the music lessons. Okay.
Rushes the music lessons. It's a very much a team effort. And I just feel like so much support from you. Today, Elisha knows I've been feeling behind. Today, he set the timer for, I think he only did 5 minutes or something. He tried to sneak in there and up the minutes while the kids were busy cleaning, but they got him. And, you know, had all the kids, we bed cleaned the house.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Speed cleaned, maybe?
Speed cleaned. Yeah, did a little speed cleaning session. And, like, I just feel like everything we've been doing is such a team effort. You know, the kids, the Bible time, the kids playing fiddle lessons. You do that with them every night. Like, you manage a big brunt of this as well.
Well, I'm glad you feel that, because I do feel like we are in it together. And if anything, I truly do feel, I think, the weight of the responsibility of kind of like whether leading us into a busy season or letting us be led into a busy season, it still falls on my shoulders. And I think that that's something that I take seriously when we get to another Sunday evening and it's kind of like, wow, okay, did that count as a Sabbath? You know, was that really a rest? Or what do we have this week on the docket? We're planning our week. And you're like, oh my goodness, how are we gonna do all of that? And when we're driving home from another event, you know, way past the kids' bedtime, you know, and they're falling asleep in the back, and then we're getting them out of the car and getting them to bed. And you just like see and feel the physical and mental and emotional tax it's having on the home. It's like, well, I'm the leader of our, I'm either leading our family into this or I'm allowing it to happen. You know, it's either through my passivity or through my proactivity that's causing this. And I want to take that seriously and not just let the burden fall on you and be like, well, hey, I know it's a busy season, but hey, keep the house together. It's like, no, I've led us into this situation. I don't think I've done a great job. I'm glad you're saying that I have, but I feel this season that we've found ourselves in, it's like, oh, this is on me. Like, I need to get better at saying no. I need to use more discernment on what we commit to, you know, and what we put on the calendar, because we want to live with more margin and we want to live with more rest, right? And Sabbath in our life. And that's not been the case here in this recent past. And ultimately it's like, it's clearly on me. It's like as head of the home.
Sometimes there's things though that you can't control. And a lot of the stuff that maybe has been like, maybe we've planned a full schedule. And then I feel like the Lord has allowed things to happen too, where we're responding. Mm-hmm. And it's just, he's clearly put something in our lap to take care of, or a situation or people or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so I do think the Lord is so gracious to not let me know of things until it's like right about to happen, because he knows I couldn't handle it looking at the calendar, but he's been just so gracious where we have all these commitments and then I get a call that something's going to change or someone's going to come or, you know, something's been changed or added to our plate. And it's just like, wow, like I'm so grateful I didn't know about that 3 hours ago, but we will welcome it with open arms right now, you know? And so I'm just really thankful he's really led us gently through, especially the last couple of weeks, I feel like, and really the last couple months maybe.
Yeah. And just going back to like, it is, these things are so enjoyable when our marriage is good. Like,
when
you like the person you're getting into bed with, when you like the person you're driving in the car with to the next event that you can't believe you got roped into, you know, like you're like, well, I do like you. I like this person that I'm doing this with. So
something that helped me recently was I was listening to this podcast because I was like, I need fresh inspiration here. Like, I need to learn in this area how to manage what we've got going on. Because cutting things out of your life and saying no is option number one. I think that's usually a great option. But that's, for whatever reason, it's just not the option we have right now with some of these things. And so I'm not saying we're victims to it. I'm just saying we're choosing to not do that.
When we look at the pros and cons, we're like, nope, we're going to keep this.
We're going to keep all the children. No, teasing. Actually, the kids aren't the stress in any of these situations. So I just thought it would be funny to bring up. So they're great. But the thing is, I was listening to a gal and she was saying she had listened to a different podcast. And the guy on the different podcast was saying you could only handle three main things in your life. And so she was saying, I am a wife, I am a mother. And I was like, so far, so good. And she goes, and I am a homeowner. I thought, well, that's an interesting one to have as the third one.
Did she mean like homemaker? Or
I think she meant like she's the manager of her home. But it was kind of great how she kept saying, I'm a homeowner. So, but obviously with home ownership, there comes a lot of home management tasks, right? So she has to manage a home. So she was saying, you know, if she chooses to do business or anything outside of that, then balls are going to drop, right? And so I thought, well, this isn't the podcast for me because there's no way I can cut down to three things at this point in life. But I started thinking, how many things do I have? And actually, if I were to hire help, where would the help be best utilized? Mm-hmm. Like, because I brought to Elisha, I was feeling overwhelmed and he was just so gracious to be like, well, we can get help. How would you like help? And so again, I didn't know if the butler was the best option or what. And so I decided I need to get organized first. And I think that clarity solves a ton of problems because often when we're overwhelmed or paralyzed, we don't know how to prioritize because we don't have clarity. And so the reason why we get overwhelmed is because we see 257 things that we think need to get done right now. Mm-hmm. And then once we have clarity, we realize, oh, there's actually only two things that need to get done right now. And I can do those two things. And so, you know, that can really simplify things.
I'll say. Yeah.
So I wrote down the areas that I actually wrote down areas that are important to me that I'm failing in. And then that sounded bad. So I crossed that out and said wanting to grow in.
There you go.
Okay. Like so the first one, and since this lady, she gave me the idea to put on relational hats, not just vocational hats.
Sure.
Okay. So my relationship with Christ, my Savior, and pouring that out onto the children. I feel like this is an area I have been totally letting slide in this busy season. He's always there. I'm in communion with him, but I want to be growing and I want to be fresh and I want the children to sense that fresh outpouring.
Yeah, you want his word on the tip of your tongue. Yeah. You want to be praying, walking and, you know, praying at all times with the kids and casting your cares before the Lord. And
it's the most important thing. And so even that was eye-opening. Like, okay, this is an area I'm really letting slip. And so then I just wrote down things that I desire to do in this area. You know, time in God's word, prayer throughout my day, family worship, family prayer, morning devotions, evening devotions, memorizing scripture with the kids. Those are all like things that fall under that category. My relationship with Elisha, that's super important. I put down different things here, but he's here right now and you're here right now. So I'm just going to keep those things to myself.
Well, fun.
Okay.
But just so you know, I feel like you've gone above and beyond in our relationship.
But you're always going to make the list, you know? I don't want to
But like I'm a priority, is what you're saying? Like it's...
Well, you're my primary person priority.
Sure. Number two on the big list, yeah.
Yeah, number two under Christ, but that affects our marriage.
Yes.
Obviously.
No doubt.
So, well, good. That's encouraging to hear. I felt very loved by you during this time. My children. So I want to have kind and gracious words for them. I want to have time for them. I want to have presence with them and not have them feel that I'm rushing. That really makes me feel bad. I want to be intentional with their education. And I wrote down the areas that really matter to me. Their healthy meals, slow evenings, out of doors and life skills. Those are all things that I feel like are important that I'm providing for the children along with Elisha.
Hmm.
And something that Elisha's really let out in recently, and this might be helpful for you guys if you're like, you know, you're going into a season of summer and it can be really busy, is we've decided we just really want to have slow evenings.
Mm. I've been convicted. And I know you've got more on your list.
No, so I wanted you to share on this.
Yeah. It's funny. My parents were in, or actually still are in town. So we've been able to spend a lot of time with them. And we were, that was actually a total highlight in the midst of all this.
Super special.
Yeah, we've spent time with them. But then even a particular highlight is we got to go out to dinner with just them. To one of our favorite restaurants here in Coeur d'Alene. So we were able to get a babysitter and go out to dinner with my parents. And I asked them, I was like, hey, like, is it, can you look back in your life of raising 10 children at a season that was like particularly crazy, you know, chaotic, stressful, you're overwhelmed, you were questioning having so many children, you know, like you were wondering if you're going to make it any season like that. And they were both like, yeah. And they mentioned the season of life that it was. And I was like, you know, it's nuts that like I was old enough to have memories of that season, right? I want to say I can remember the age that I was when they were talking about all that was going on in our life and who was just being born and all that. And I was like, I had such a carefree, love-filled childhood in the midst of that. And it was really convicting because so often our kids bear the brunt of, you know, the hecticness of our life. It's like they're the ones that get the bad end of the deal more than anybody, right? Because we've maybe overextended ourselves, whatever, financially, and then they're feeling that. We've overextended ourselves relationally, and then they're feeling that. We've overextended ourselves physically, where we're putting too much energy and effort into places, and we're physically depleted, and they get the left. They get nothing, actually, mm-hmm. right? You come home, and there's just nothing for them. And I was so, I guess, convicted when I heard my parents talk about that season and kind of some more of the logistics and the details of it that I wasn't fully aware of at the time. And I was like, no way. I was a kid that got to live as a kid that had my parents' full support. I felt their love. We were doing in the midst of this crazy season, we were doing family Bible times. Again, I'm not saying we did it every night, like they were perfect, but that's what the norm was, right? Was doing family Bible times. The norm was waking up and seeing my mom sitting in her corner on the couch, you know, with her coffee and her Bible. That was the norm in this season. And I was like, no way. The norm too was my dad coming and tucking all of us in and not doing it in a perfunctory manner, but doing it in a caring, giving, manner where he's, you know, sitting down on the boys' room floor, right, with me and all my brothers, and he's talking to us about our day, and, you know, he's praying with us, or he's telling a funny story. He'll even make up a story some nights. And they did the same thing for my sisters. And I was like, wow, in the midst of all this, and here I am in a busy season, and like, what's the first thing to go? Family evening times. Just kind of like, are you kidding me? No, like, we can't do family evening times. And then my prayers, or my kiss, you know, putting the kids to bed, is just like the most cursory version of it ever, right? Like,
you're selling yourself short.
I mean, well, I know my conscience and I know my heart in these situations, and it's like, I'm not taking time to snuggle with them. I'm not taking time just to talk about the day with them. And since, you know, having that conversation with my parents, and really we made the change in that circumstance, right? But the circumstances didn't really change around us in the sense of commitments and busyness.
No.
But we were like, we need to have a family evening time, regardless of what time we get home oftentimes. It's like, because we have like our, oh, this is bedtime, so we're going to go to bed. And I'd gotten the habit of, well, we're just getting home too late, just go straight to bed. And I'm kind of doing it in the stressed out dad way. I'm not saying, okay, you got to gather everybody up into the living room at midnight and like do your family devotions and sing time. But I want them to know like that I love them in the evening time, that I get to ask them about their day. You know, who were you playing with? Who'd you talk to, you know, at the event? And if you are able to do the family reading time, sure. Like maybe you get to bed a little later tonight, but that means a lot to our kids. And it means something to me. It's putting, you know, my time and my energy where my mouth is, and being like, no, I do value you guys, and I'm not going to let you feel the pressure of us being in a busy season, right? I don't want them to feel that burden.
Yeah, and that's just been so life-giving to Elisha and I as we started implementing this, and to the kids, and you sense that. And so even though we go, okay, we have kind of fast days, we're going to have slow evenings. Mm-hmm. And like, we are going to have slow evenings between dinner time or whenever we even get home from a social commitment or whatever the case may be. And when the kids go to bed, we're going to go through these things, yep, that we've deemed that the kids really look forward to, because they get really disappointed when we can't sit down and do our evening time. And so it's like, there's a few things that we do that are very, that just make the day feel slow all of a sudden, even if it's just 20 minutes and they go to bed 20 minutes later and we are 20 minutes later doing whatever we're going to do for the evening. It's just really been a blessing in our life.
Huge blessing. And what's crazy is it like I said, I feel like I started doing it for the kids, but then, you know, as it always so often happens, I feel like I'm the biggest recipient of the blessing in it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is what I needed. I needed to calm my soul, calm my spirit. Just lay in bed with my daughter, you know, and just talk for not for a crazy long time, but just talk for like 8 minutes.
She loves that so much.
Before I pray with her and do the, you know, and wrestle the boys a little bit. And it's like, well, that just filled my, that gave me so much perspective in life. And yet, you know, I thought I was doing it for her, you know, and yet.
Yeah, I think, I don't want to butcher it. I think it's Robert Frost, but now I can't remember. But he has a poem about the children's golden hour. And just that phrase, the children's golden hour, really sticks out to me because it's the last thing the kids remember when they're going to bed. So regardless of how the day was, it's like when we take time to go to have a slow evening, that is the last like rosy sunset on their day. Whereas if we have a great day with them and then I'm snapping at them to get in their beds and shut the door and go to sleep immediately, then we don't have the same, you know, that's a harsh memory that they're going to bed to. Even if, you know, I was super intentional the rest of the day,
right,
with slowing down. And so I just think that that's something that we really want to implement. Was I wrong on the Robert Frost
thing? I Googled Robert Frost, children's golden, what'd you say?
Hour, and it didn't show up. Well, sorry, guys. Someone probably knows that poem and is like, she is way off.
There's this Nothing Gold Can Stay by Robert Frost.
Well, that sounds good, but
nature's first green is gold. Her hardest hue is to hold.
No.
Her early. Okay.
It's called The Children's Golden Hour. I do know that is the name of the poem.
Okay, well, I'll just Google that then.
There you go. You know what's kind of funny is I don't even necessarily know if it's talking about going to bed, but that's how I've applied it.
Yes.
That's what I think of. The children's hour, Henry Wordsworth or Wadsworth?
Wadsworth. So is Wadsworth different than
Wordsworth?
Woodsworth?
Wordsworth.
That's crazy. That's a different person. Who's the Wordsworth poet? That's crazy.
I don't know. You've just been reading about him. What's that book that you were reading?
Yeah, William with Wordsworth. Dude.
It is Wordsworth. Everyone was giving me a hard time about it because I was saying it was William Wordsworth, and you guys were like,
"That's too good.
That's too good.
It's got to be Wordsworth." Yeah,
it was. That's, you know.
So the Children's Hour is by Henry Wadsworth.
Yeah. So I'm right about things and wrong about some things. Is it Henry Wadsworth Longfellow?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, okay, so. Another category I put down in here is my health. And this is one I really let deteriorate in terms of my perception of my health. I mean, I've got a giant cold sore on my face, so I think it might be a little accurate. But supplements for my immunity, this affects our marriage. You know, this affects how I feel about myself. When I feel, when I don't feel good about myself, I don't really want to be pursued so much. Mm. I still want Elisha to tell me wonderful things about myself, which he always does, but I feel more resistant towards accepting them instead of more excited. Mm. And so that's something that I really don't like. I don't like feeling inhibited that way. Eating satiating healthy food, getting more sleep. I need to have more discipline when it comes to actually going to bed. You know, my hormones are affected. The kids notice if I'm not taking care of my health. Mm. So really, like, the whole family is affected by health. But when I, before I did this brainstorm, I didn't have health is like a hat I was wearing.
Sure.
Per se, like a, like something, like a role that I had. But I feel like the role of taking care of myself physically affects all these other roles.
No doubt. Like, do you feel like your health just kind of happens to you? Like,
yeah,
it just
exactly.
Kind of it's there and it ebbs and flows. It exists.
Well, it's the first thing to be like, we're in a busy season, so I'm not going to like worry about supplements or food. Or, I mean, food hasn't been terrible, which has been good, but things like
sleep,
yeah. Working out, stuff like that. I just, you know, I'm kind of like, well, it's busy. I don't have time for that. Hmm. But then it affects every area of my life. And I didn't realize how much it was affecting me till I wrote it down. So it turns out I'm going to hire out that area of my life.
Nice. Like a personal trainer, or like hire somebody to work out instead of you? Like,
well, yeah, hire someone to work out instead of me. No, this is the thing though, is that this is what's so helpful about doing this, is when I feel overwhelmed, the solutions, okay, this was another solution I had. When it wasn't hiring the butler, it was like, I need to join like a CrossFit gym. Mm. And then I look at the amount of time, like partially what I'm dealing with right now is a lack of time.
Right.
And when I look at the amount of time it would take me to do an hour long CrossFit class with a 30 minute drive on both ends,
yeah,
it's like, well, that's not actually solving the problem.
Right.
So, but that's typically my tendency, is just to go out and join some membership somewhere or do something totally different and not actually have clarity as to whether that will solve a problem or not.
Yeah, we've both done things like that countless times throughout the duration of our marriage, where it's funny because that the gym one's an obvious one, right? Just like, I'm not doing great with workouts, I need to join a gym whatever. And again, that's served us at different times to kind of give us a boost or a shot in the arm or whatever. But we've done that in business. Like, we need to buy this new course, right? Or we need to start a new product line, or we need to, like, whatever, spend more money in this direction in marketing. And it's not always the right thing to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we've learned that by example, which is why I'm grateful that we have taken a little bit longer time to just sit in how we're feeling and not rush out and do something immediately different.
You know, backing up too, because I was like, well, have we done this in our marriage? Where it's like, we just need to change something big time. And I don't know if it's been ever that dramatic, but I think oftentimes we'll look to things as being solutions that aren't, you know, like, we just need a date night. We're huge advocates of date nights. Like, they are a blast. They're fun. Or even think of like the infamous trip to Hawaii, like 3 years ago.
all our trips are like the worst. We have had some good ones.
Oh yeah. Where we just kind of like, oh, when we get that time together in like Hawaii, then romance is going to be off the charts and our carefree timelessness is just going to fill both of our love tanks and our marriage is going to be set for another, whatever, you know, 5 years. And we were really banking on that, like solving problems that we weren't willing to acknowledge were there, or we weren't willing to acknowledge that there might be other solutions that we could start working towards
in the moment, like today. You know?
The unfortunate thing is the Hawaii trip, the first half of it, we had to work on solving all our problems. And the second half was awesome. But the whole thing could have been awesome if we just worked on stuff before going to Hawaii. Then I put down helping Elisha with the business. So all last year, I was pregnant and I was out of the business. And so it wasn't something that I was investing in. And when I say the business, I'm talking about Voetberg Music Academy. We get this question all the time. What does Elisha do for work? So he does a million and one things, but Voetberg Music Academy is the business.
Yeah, that's the business. The family business.
It's the family business. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that I would like to be a part of there. That's a real obvious one where we hire out help for that. But I don't want to totally relinquish my role because I really enjoy brainstorming and being a part of that with Elisha. So I put that down as a hat that I get to wear during this season. It's not one that I always get to. Hospitality. So this is another
category.
Category. Yeah. So I realized hospitality actually is taking 80% of my time right now, partially.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And that's part of the blessing that we're talking about, where it's like, we are so blessed by so many people. And then you want to reciprocate and you want to bless a ton of people because they mean so much to you.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get a little behind, and it's not like anybody that I'm talking about is asking for reciprocation for their blessing.
Keeping score.
No, yeah. It's from a heart of gratitude that we would like to. Mm-hmm. And then it can get discouraging when you feel like you're falling behind in this area. But it was helpful for me to be like, okay, this is an area I want to grow capabilities in, and I didn't realize so much time, disordered time was going here. I can really there's no time in my day for hospitality. And so that's why I'm getting so far behind and bogged down. And so, you know, things that I put that fall under this are meal trains, which are such a joy to be a part of, sending gifts or letters or packages, keeping up with the kids' correspondence, opening our home to family and friends, which is such a gift. I put down travel because we're traveling a lot. And I really want to be a hospitable traveler. I've just noticed when people come to our home, there are so many hospitable travelers. They come and they show up. You know, your mom showed up with meat and has had us over for dinner, even though she's visiting here. Or my mom always shows up with food. Or your sisters have shown up with things. And it's I want to be more thoughtful when I'm traveling to family or long distance to have the forethought to bake an extra loaf of sourdough or bring over fresh cut flowers or some canned goods or something, you know, to because it means so much to me. So anyways, I want to have the forethought for that. Giving time and the Lord's money. And then also, you know, what's funny is I think I was kind of confused on this for a long time until I wrote this out, but I put the podcast here in the hospitality category because I think for a while we were considering kind of doing the podcast as business, straight up business. But really, I feel like it's when we get to bring you guys into our home, we get to share our life with you, we get to meet you guys real time. And it's just, I feel like it's a totally different category of my mind and time. And it's like an extension of our home. And so I put that here in hospitality. And it's the same thing actually as filming the Get It All Done Club modules and doing the lives and the Get It All Done Club now. The Get It All Done Club is definitely a business, but I created all of that business content 5 years ago. And so when people are purchasing the Get It All Done Club, they're getting the product that was created. But now I feel like I get to, from a place of just enjoyment and learning, be able to share what I'm currently learning with the women in there. And I'm so blessed by it. I hope that they're blessed by it. And it feels like more of an extension of hospitality for me instead of I have to do this because I don't anymore.
Yeah. That's cool that it's feeling that way, honestly, because I think that's even in the midst of all this crazy season, especially since we kind of made that pivot even with the podcast in particular, to be we don't want this to be this. It doesn't need to be this income generating thing, right? We just want it to be, we want it to be a blessing to us and to anybody that's listening. And we found when we kept that separate from business, it's far easier to do that.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why we're business is Voetberg Music Academy. That's we're looking at profit loss. We're looking at our expenses, we're looking at all those things, right? Improving the product, improving the customer experience from a very analytical standpoint. Whereas we're not doing that with the Get It All Done. No. I mean, you want it to be a good experience, obviously.
Oh,
we want the podcast to be a good experience for you guys. but we're not like in the back office like we have been in times past, looking at metrics, pursuing sponsors. You know, it's been, you know, yeah, we're kind of like moving away from any of the sponsors that we've had in the past.
Even though they're amazing.
They're awesome. It's not them. It's just kind of like we wanted this to just be a blessing to our family and to anybody else. And it getting away from the business model of it has really helped that.
Yeah. And that has, what's funny is even just writing that down as I was going through this, I was like, I didn't realize like that brought me so much freedom to just be like, if we don't have the time to record an episode, we don't need to record an episode.
Right.
Like if I don't have time to create all the extra content that I want to create, I don't have to. I get to do that from a place of abundance, not from a place of need or like, I have to do this. And for whatever reason, it just totally changed in my mind.
Yes.
The output or the energy output that's going and made it feel a lot more like, wow, Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity. And I pray that it's a blessing and you use it. And if you have us, if that's not where our time should be best spent, then pivot us.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like, I don't know, this like driving that.
Yeah, or if it's not best going back to like that hierarchy of like our marriage, if this is all of a sudden becoming a strain in our marriage, well, like that's not worth it. If it's becoming a strain to our children or we're feeling some conflict in our conscience before the Lord, it's like we don't want there to be this like monetary dependence on it. You know, this dependence where we're kind of like, well, we've got to crank out the episodes. And again, we plan on being consistent with this because we like consistency.
Oh, yeah, nothing's changing. And we love doing it.
But it has changed even, I think, even the tone of tonight's episode. Like this is a very real time example. Like, you know, us talking, whatever, 4 hours ago or 6 hours ago, basically when we got back from church and me being like, hey, like we need to record a podcast tonight. And initially, like both of us being like this is not the right day for it. Like, like we have way too many other things. And then knowing like, no, we don't actually not having to record the podcast has made us want to do the podcast. Cause then it's like, well, we don't like, you can take a shower, you can put sweats on. I can put an old, you know, raggedy t-shirt on and like, I'm not going to shave. I'm whatever. You know what I mean? Like it became a lot more like, well, let's just go actually, this is going to be helpful to our marriage and we got to do a podcast episode.
Yeah, and something that you guys see as I go through this is that nothing's actually changing. It's all just perspective. And a lot of overwhelm is actually perspective. Mm. And so that's I wanted to shift my perspective, but I didn't know how. Sometimes there's practical things you need to do, but again, you want them to be actually going to change something. So that really changed things. Also, what makes this different for me and what Elisha and I have talked about is we never wanted to live on an income that relies on me. And so sometimes I would feel torn if something has earned money that has my face, because then it all of a sudden makes me feel like I have to be there to earn the money. And that's what's been so cool is by throwing all the business bundle into the basket of VMA. Elisha's the face of VMA. I don't teach music lessons. I don't.
Well, me and your sister. And
my
sister.
It's on Elisha, his sister, his sister-in-law. But it's not me. I get to show up and have fun in the community if I would like to. Mm-hmm. I don't need to. And so that relieves a ton of pressure on me versus like, we're going to grow the Get It All Done Club. Yeah. Well, then that's, you know, my face.
And this is, if you're like, wait a second, I'm confused. Like I was just listening to another episode like this. That this hasn't always been the case, you desiring and not wanting to be.
Yeah, that desire has been the case.
But. Yeah, and I think that's been more of a reality than not over the last few years. But we have been torn at different times, like, I mean, like, let's make, you know, pursue more sponsors for the podcast and really make that like a revenue generating thing. Or even, you know, back when you were on Instagram being like, hey, should we get sponsors here? Should we try selling more on here? The Get It All Done Club. Like, what if we, you know, build this out more, you know, start paying for advertising, if you've heard us talk about other things, well, yes, we've done that. You know, like we've talked about.
I'm not saying it's bad for everybody. We never relied on that income. Well, I should say we did for 3 months. And it was really hard. Well, we were transitioning and Elisha was changing jobs and all that. But it was a short period of time. We knew it wasn't our ideal. And that was a really difficult time. But aside from that, we stopped relying on any money that came in and that I was a part of, I guess, any income source I was a part of a long time ago. But I still felt the need in order to keep certain things going.
Yeah.
That I just really feel the pressure lifted now and have for years. But something that's been cool is I feel even more pressure lifted, I guess, because I'm willing to like bend over backwards to make a meal for a meal train on a really bad day for us because I know that it's a blessing to someone else, you know? And so it changes that when I think, okay, we'll do a podcast and I'm tired right now. You know, it changes the motivation that I'm doing it for. Same as like the Get It All Done Club. If I'm going to put content out in there, it's like, okay, well, ladies have been asking for years on how I do the kids' clothing systems, you know, so I filmed that this week, but I didn't have to, you know, I got to do that for them. Anyways,
I like
that's a whole thing. Okay. Our home. I wrote down our home
real quick. You said a while back, like, oh, this is an area I can grow in capabilities. I think it was along the lines of hospitality. And I just love that perspective. When you zero in on particular things you want to grow in capabilities in, like just like cooking, you know, or being more efficient with what, I don't know, like what skills would go into hospitality because you crush that so well, you know, I don't have to think about it. But with all these categories, this is, again, I don't know if my dad would use that language or my mother, but they just have this mindset of like, well, yeah, our life's growing, it's expanding, everything's getting more, it's getting bigger, it's getting extra. And so we need to grow and become more. Like, we just need to become better versions of ourselves, more like the, and we can do that. Like, that's what's so crazy and cool about being humans and then being Christians. Like, we can grow in our faith. We can grow in discipline. We can grow in capabilities. And so that, like, what you actually get done in your 16 hours of being awake is greater. Like, you're just more efficient in everything that you're doing. And we always talk about that in regards to like business or, you know, like something along those lines, like that type of productivity. But it's like, no, you can get just, you can grow in capabilities as a father, like being just a better father, a better husband, doing the activities of a husband and a father better. Like, and maybe not necessarily more efficiently, but it's like you do them in a way that is more routine based so that it's not as like mentally draining, maybe, you know, but
yeah, that's good. And I love that. We have a fixed mindset often when it comes to these relational things, but then a growth mindset when it comes to business or something. Cause everyone says, hey, you've got to grow.
Yeah.
But then like when it comes to like, oh, I can only handle two kids. It's like, well, actually like you could also grow in this area.
Right.
So I did put down our home, cultivating a clean and restful environment, having it deep clean ready. We have some things going on with our house right now. We always need it to be clean. A swift laundry cycle, just not getting behind. It's not hard when I stay on top of it, but it is daunting when I stay behind. I get behind. Nourishing meals, maintaining a tidy and decluttered space, sense sights and sounds of harmony, and saving money in our home. And then I also have one other category on here, but it's just a project that we're working on. But the point is I got even actually, it really helped to get clarity on like, solidifying the roles that I'm in right now. And it helped me realize which ones are actually way more important. And what's funny is the ones that were super important are the ones I was cutting, which is, I think, actually pretty common.
Yes.
And it just was like, okay, so now what would I hire out? But I'm like, first, actually, the funny thing is like the biggest pain points are when I'm not getting up early in the morning, then I don't have time for my health goals. Being in the Word slips often and gets bumped to the back burner. And then a lot of hospitality stuff and business stuff all gets dropped just by me not getting up in the morning.
Wow.
And so it's like, okay, I've been coping by staying up in the evenings because I'm daunted by the next day.
Isn't that crazy? That I'm right there.
Sabotaging myself.
Where it's like, you get the kids down, you're overwhelmed. You're like, I just want to take a shower and listen to a podcast or watch YouTube videos. And you think that that's like helping you. You're like, there's just too much going on. I need to take advantage of this little window. And during other seasons, it's gone even worse than that, where you're like, we're like doing Haagen-Dazs and Ben and Jerry's and watching YouTube videos or binge watching a show. And I think that that's a common thing for people in busy. I know it has been for me in past busy seasons where it, like, that's just where you go. But like you said, it's you need to do the opposite, like to get caught up again, you know, or to get back on top of it.
And that's what actually was really encouraging to me was like, oh, if I just like get up in the morning, then if I'm spending time in God's word and I'm working out, then like my relationship with Elisha improves, my relationship with my children improves, my perspective on life improves, what I'm prioritizing improves, like it almost all starts to take care of itself. And so then real quick, this is my last thing. I know it's getting kind of long. I just decided to write down a time for each thing and kind of see what I don't have time for. Mm-hmm. So it's like early in that morning, it's the AM and it's basically like health and fitness and then getting a little bit of work done for the day or hospitality type mm-hmm. stuff, extra stuff. And then the children block. This has been the blessing. I honestly feel like we have such a great flow with the children. And so I feel like they're doing everything that they should be doing. And I feel like they're enjoying their life. So that's great. But I just want to get clear, not trying to muddle blocks, like not trying to be like, I'm going to do a little bit of work and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and answering emails at 10 in the morning with the kids all around. Like that's just super lame.
And it looks like we know that.
Yeah, it's like, but it's just also know that, and then, when I don't know that there's a time for it, then I think, again, I don't know how to prioritize. And I just start thinking, oh, I need to do this right now. I need to do this right now. And it's like, whatever is coming into my head, I'm doing.
Hmm. So, yeah. And you're like, oh yeah. It's like, we're so good. We don't have smartphones. We just carry our huge laptop computers around all day in front of the kids. No, I'm joking. You don't do that.
But well, like,
I did that. I've done that many like, evenings here where it's it. Like you said, that whole like post dinner till the kids go to bed. Many times it's busy and you somehow justify it in your brain, finish dinner, pull the computer out in the living room, get more work done, get back to people when you handle this. It's like, what am I doing? Yeah.
Yeah. You don't actually do that a lot. I feel like you're super intentional with the kids, but it can sneak up on me.
Oh, yeah.
It can sneak up on me in the morning with the kids. So it's like, okay, from 7:45 to 1 PM, all I'm focusing on are the children. And if I have any time to do anything else, I'm going to do some stuff that's hospitality based. Hmm. So it might be like making food for someone. It might be sending out a letter with the kids. It might be calling someone while I go on a walk. But it's like, that's it. It's just like a relational time.
Hmm.
1 to 3 is maybe podcast work, whatever I would like to do. A home management buffer if I need to do something during that time for a home. And
because that's nap time.
Yeah, because that's nap time for the children. Hmm. And then 3 to 5 is, again, going back to home and hospitality. So that's like the children have had all their activities done. So it's like I can do a little bit each day if I'm like doing my bathrooms or folding a load of laundry or washing one person's sheets. Like it turns out I don't need a full housekeeping staff of 7 to take care of my 1,800 square foot house. Mm-hmm. I can do it, but I didn't have a time for it. So therefore, I was never doing it. And some of these tasks or some of these roles were bleeding throughout the whole day. I was overdoing it mm-hmm. and the other ones weren't getting done at all.
Hmm.
And then 5 to 7 is just dinner, slow evening with the kids and family. 7 to 8:30 is kind of a block where Elisha and I work on stuff together, I feel like. And then 9 o'clock, I want to be in bed. I want to read, which I love reading in bed. That's a good thing mm-hmm. that we do a lot, even in these seasons. Mm-hmm. And just rest, mm-hmm. but like early to bed. And then I'm back up again the next day. So anyways, I don't know if that was helpful for anyone or if it was just like a spill your guts session.
It was helpful for me, honestly. I loved hearing those categories broken down because it crystallized some things in my own head. Because so much overwhelm comes from just everything being vague and just kind of like it's just all too much. You're like, well, what's too much? Like, what are you feeling stressed by? You're like, it's all of it, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So when you break it down, it's really helpful.
Well, because that's the thing is each one of those roles, some of them more than others, have like dozens or maybe hundreds
of tasks. Right. Yeah.
That could go into them.
Yeah.
So, but when you just identify like, I'm just going to do a little bit each day, that's going to be great. And especially when you look at like, oh, I've been dropping, you know, 4 or 5 roles for 2 months. It's no wonder I feel how I feel, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I feel a lot more free making progress in slow, steady steps. The overwhelm has really dissipated. The fatigue has not. We still need to get in bed a decent hour tonight so we can get on a good circadian rhythm here.
Cause no doubt.
It takes a little while to change the clock around.
Yep.
But yeah, the Lord's just really, really gracious.
Yeah.
And he's gracious again in this season.
Yeah. Well, folks, thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please maybe share it with a friend that you think might like it. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.